After years of controversy about its move from Marion, and just months after the Barnes Foundation has settled into its new home in Philadelphia, a new book by former Harvard University president and current Barnes board member Neil Rudenstein has been published, titled The House of Barnes, The Man, The Collection, and The Controversy. The book grew out of research Rudenstein did to inform his decision about whether he was prepared to join the newly expanded Barnes board prior to the move. I spoke with Neil Rudenstein earlier this week at his Princeton home.
Well, I was invited completely out of the blue because I'd been, since the early 1960s, I had no contact whatsoever with the Barnes. And I'm not sure quite how they managed to decide to ask me. But I did know about the controversy. Everybody knew about the controversy at that point because the judge's ruling had only come down recently. And I thought, my gosh, I don't really want to get involved here unless I'm quite sure that we're on firm ground in terms of the ruling and the move and so on. And while I didn't expect the controversy to go away, I wanted to be sure that I could somehow be able to defend the institution, not necessarily publicly, but to myself. So I asked for all the legal documents, certainly Judge Ott's various rulings, and I even looked at the 1960-61 documents. And then I asked for the financial statements, as far back as they could go. And they didn't go that far back at that point, but I was able at least to trace it from the 1980s. And it was obvious that the place was simply headed in a steady decline toward financial dissolution, essentially, and that the judge's rulings seemed to me to be very, very thorough. After all, he took the better part of 2 years, and he was a very strict judge. I mean, he had turned down the Barnes because of indenture restrictions several times before. He didn't even allow them to have a special dinner when the international tour was over on the grounds that you couldn't have any public or social events in any buildings of the Barnes because that was what the indenture said.
But so they had it in a tent in the garden.
They had it in a tent, exactly. So I thought, gee, any judge that won't allow them to have a dinner is not likely to let them move all the way to Philadelphia without some very, very good reasons. So by the end of my investigation, I came to the conclusion that, yes, the move was justified. And in fact, the place would go under if it didn't move.
People say, a lot of people say, I hate conspiracy theories, but the fact is that people do conspire. Mm. And a lot of people thought there was a conspiracy among the great and the good of Philadelphia to bring the Barnes collection, right. Let's not even call it the foundation, to bring the Barnes collection to the parkway so you could have a museum district. It would be good for quality of life, it would be good for tourism, all of that. Why do you think the conspiracy theorists were so successful in convincing everybody from the media to some politicians to the general public?
Oh, that's an interesting question, and I'm not sure I would know all the answers, but certainly, first of all, there wasn't all that much known. Many people who had the conspiracy theory in mind hadn't even read Judge Ott's opinion, and they certainly didn't know the financial history.
After we broadcast this, our website will be covered in comments from people who say that I've given you an easy ride.
Right.
So let me ask you this. The money that was spent to bring the Barnes to Philadelphia, the obvious question is, why could it not have been spent to keep the Barnes in Marion? Your theory is that it had to move to survive.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people would argue with that.
Well, I think there are two or three reasons why one couldn't use that money. First of all, it was restricted. It was given on the condition that the Barnes moved to Philadelphia. The Barnes, as I say in the book, really had no financial constituency.
Right, but could those foundations and individuals have said, we're giving you the money, the Barnes needs to stay in Marion? Why did it have to move to Philadelphia?
Well, there are several reasons, but one prominent reason, of course, was that there was no support in Marion, and in fact, the community was hostile to every move that the Barnes tried to make.
Even the move to Philadelphia, ultimately.
Well, certainly that. But I mean even more modest moves, like expanding from 2.5 days to 3.5 days of visitors. There was fierce opposition on the grounds that there would be too many people coming. And the idea that somehow moving from 400 to 550 people a week would be trampling on the community seemed to me to be not reasonable, really. So there was a whole community aspect to the fact that keeping the Barnes in Marion essentially meant that it could not make any moves whatsoever institutionally in terms of broadening its educational programs, in terms of having more people come, because every move was fought either by the zoning board or the residents or the township or whatever the case may be. And in fact, the Barnes lost most of those cases because the community prevailed. And in a sense, you can understand why a residential community that wanted its peace and quiet would in fact not be happy about an expanding institution. But that was simply the fact that you had a sort of collision built in there once the Barnes decided that it wanted to take the educational mission seriously. So you had, I think on top of that, you have to add that there was no money forthcoming from the local community. If they had really felt so strongly that they wanted it there and could keep it there and that they could keep it in a modest way, then you would think that they, even if we can't solve it all, we'll lead the charge, we'll help you raise the money. Because they did, of course, try to raise money for several years and just came up with nothing. And not just from the foundations, but from individuals, from corporations, from all sorts of people who said, you'll never survive in that location. You just don't have the support. You don't even have the support to be able to manage your institution in the way you want to manage it. So I think there was not just a financial problem, but really a location problem.
Judge Ott decreed that when the Barnes moved to Philadelphia, that it should be installed in a replica of the galleries that existed in Marion. Was that a good idea?
I think it was a good idea. I think it was a good idea, though many people wish otherwise. But it does seem to me to be, it is obviously a personal reflection of Barnes and his taste and his way, his theories. But at the same time, it's to some extent a testimony to that moment in history. It's an artifact of a particular moment of a particular person. It reflects something of that era. And in that sense, it's one of the few places that could be preserved, so to speak, intact. It's interesting that when Matisse visited the Barnes, he was very enthusiastic about the installation. Now, I don't think he understood the theory at all. He wasn't interested in the theory. What he liked was the fact that it was very unconventional, that you didn't have all of the Courbets in one room and all the Renoirs in another, two rooms or three rooms or whatever, and that Barnes had mixed up modern painters, meaning really contemporary painters, with the older modernist paintings. They can see parallels or divergencies in all of this very easily. It's a good training mechanism, so to speak, for a student of art.
Do you think this book will satisfy those who are, and there still are people who are dissatisfied that this move has taken place? Do you think that reading this book will make it easier for those people to, if not agree with it, find peace with the idea that the Barnes is no longer in Marion?
I rather doubt it. I rather doubt it. That is, I don't mean to say it may not change some minds, and it may, or at least lead them to think that it was more complicated than it seemed to be. I think the thing, quite honestly, that has persuaded more people to change their mind about the move is the actual architecture of the building and the way in which the art is presented and the sort of beauty of the building. That, the number of people who've written and said, I was against the move, but I've changed my mind, not because of my book or Judge Ott or anything like that, but because it is so beautiful and now it's more accessible.
Neil Rudenstein. The House of Barnes, The Man, The Collection, and The Controversy is published by the American Philosophical Society.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.